Well, we'd like to welcome you once again back to the Saturn Earth Connection. And this is a website called helloearth.info. And this is hour 51, and today is the 5th of August, 2008, just a few days before 080808, Benjamin Fulford's day with the Secret Asian Society and the start of the Olympics in China. Hello, Michael.
Hello.
Hello. Well, good to hear you, and you sound real good. Michael and I were talking for a moment,
I guess I
and
gotta say hello to everybody around the world because we've been noticing how it's gone. So many countries all around the globe already are downloading the podcast.
yes, we've just well, like I'm looking at Japan on one person in Japan, but the other day it was 18 people from Japan and Iceland. Hello, Iceland. It's nice to have you here listening to Michael and checking out the images from the Cassini spacecraft. Because really, Michael, we don't talk much about that. That is just so amazing that that architectural sphere is out there near Saturn, far enough away where we need a telescope to see it, but not too far away, but no one really talks about it.
But in a sense, it might have been referred to in, so many, for the thousands and thousands of years when people would ask, "Where's heaven?" Where would people point? They wouldn't point toward anywhere horizontal. Generally, point straight over their head. And basically, it's out in space. Yes, it's in our solar system, much nearer. So I think it's the nearest architectural sphere, and it is a sphere, spherical, egg-shaped somewhat, in our solar system that I know about, that we've seen and Cassini's verified.
Yeah, they sure have. And people from Malaysia, Australia, Hungary, Germany, Canada, Austria, China, and the Philippines. That's and if I run down of if I look at the daily totals for like an entire month, it'll have a huge amount of countries, but we look at them every day and it's interesting to see. And also we're getting some a lot of interest on our ozone generator made by Soda Instruments in Canada. And my neighbors are drinking the water, and other friends, and Michael has a machine, and the water not only tastes good, but it makes you feel good, gives you more energy. And Marcy used the word flabbergasted when she saw what it did to her feet. And my neighbor Ann, she has a machine. She used it on her hands and her face and her feet, and she noticed a difference in one day. And very surprised and very happy about it.
And it was a Tesla invention, I guess, in the sense of ozonating water.
Yes, from 1893. So this has been kept from us for 115 years.
Yes, basically, I think it was taken off the market as some kind of quack device, along with his violet ray machine.
And I used the violet ray machine on Colleen last night. She had a sore neck, and I talked to her today. She said her neck feels great.
Right, and I remember very much that the machine called the regeneration machine, or the machine that if you jump in, that you live forever. But it's of course the one that was in the New Jerusalem in Saturn was in tuned to my, tuned to humans from Earth, so it would have actually killed my physical body to say it would kill my physical body. So, but it had that purplish or violet ray, violet color when it was on. So. So, interesting.
Yeah, and so do lightning bolts.
It, what is that again?
So do lightning bolts.
Yeah, right.
I have an image on Electricity for Health. You can see a lightning bolt coming down to the ground, and there's even palm trees where it was. I didn't take the photograph. I took it off the web. And on both sides is a very subtle color of violet.
Mm-hmm.
So Nikola Tesla just did the exact same vibration, and it's able to break oxygen in half. And when oxygen's broken in half, those single atoms are cleaners, and our bodies need cleaning out.
And, right.
But before we started, Michael said he was drinking 3 glasses a day, and now he's back to 2.
Yeah, I don't need the 3. Actually, 2 is better. I just divide my day, morning and evening. So.
Oh, I drink mine two in a row.
Yeah.
I just make it. And
one big. I just divide them twice. It's
probably
very interesting in what it has done. It, immediately, everybody who has in my family has used drank it has commented on an increased energy. I found that I no longer look forward to my morning cup of coffee. I actually look forward to my morning cup of ozonated water because of how it makes me feel. And that's saying something because coffee has an actual caffeine, a real, you might say, drug in it, caffeine.
Yeah,
you know?
It's a booster.
The boost, yeah, has a real kick to it. So when I'm looking forward to the ozonated water, that says something. Even my wife, you know, she looks forward to it in the morning and looks forward to it in the after work, after, you know, a stressful day.
And
so ozonated water is very interesting. I'm just amazed that this has been kept away from the general public for so long.
Well, it's still kept away. This machine is made in Canada, and we can have it drop shipped to you, and you can
right.
You can look at hour 6 on Electricity for Health. And last week or last recording, I played that tape from Tan when he got Marcy and I both on the phone together, which is really hard to do. This was from the 5th of September, 1996, 2200. And I patched it in directly, and it came out awful. So you could hardly hear it. And I'm going to do it the old-fashioned way, from a speaker to a microphone. So this is rather short. I'm going to play this again. And this is in the old days when I first met Marcy, and she was one of those people called a drinker. But Marcy doesn't drink anymore, and that ended like 10 years ago. So this is during that time, so you can kind of tell she is a little, that alcohol kind of flavor thing to it. Hold on, here it is.
I'm recording it. I don't care whether it's recorded or not. I'm just asking him a question. What alien life form have I come from? I know I have come from one.
Well, at the moment, alien life forms are insignificant to the problems that are arising around the world at this very moment. Everything will begin to come
to a close.
No, to a kind of, I don't know how you would say it.
Why don't you give it to us telepathically?
It is not the procedure that I would prefer to attempt at this moment.
Well, that's how you speak to Riley.
Riley is a different person.
Where are you from? Where are you from on this earth?
Why do you ask? There are some things that...
That's a simple question.
There are some things that Riley knows that I talk only to Riley about.
Well, he would never say them to anyone else.
And he was gone. So that's it. So we're glad we finally got that on the air.
Okay.
Could you hear that, Michael?
Yeah, I heard it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go to Nicola's question. He sent you a question. And... he said, hello, Michael. We are blessed that Christ Michael chose Earth for his final bestowal. Many of us, including myself, are taught the teachings of Jesus. We celebrate Christmas to honor his birth. On other home worlds, whose teachings do they follow? So... I guess you heard me, Michael?
Okay, yeah. That's the question. Whose teachings do they follow in other worlds?
Yes, on other home worlds, whose teachings do they follow?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question, and it's one that I think would naturally arise in people's hearts, you know, knowing that we're just not alone. The focus, it's sort of neat how the religions of the world have, you know, somewhat made Earth like a focal point, you know, like we're it, you know. And when it comes down to God and his creation, God is out there and his creation is Earth, and that's it. But of course, what I was given the opportunity to see and understand and given a grand tour was all of these, you might say, worshipers of God and of Christ taking me on a tour of the New Jerusalem, and then putting me through somewhat of a school, just educated, first of all, that we are not it. We're not the only creation that is out there. And yet they themselves don't see, even if they are very scientific, you know, Tan himself is a, we just heard his voice, is somewhat of a scientist, an intellectual. My wife, who spoke with him, also commented on his way of being an intellectual. But when it comes down to how, let's look at what's happening right now. One of the things that I did mention in one of the podcasts that has been kind of a special podcast going on, you know, mention about above top secret and all of that stuff, is that I was given a vision of the great awakening, you might say, or the great exposure, the armada of ships that are expose themselves. And I was saying how it would move up to this crescendo, this grand exposure. Right now, we are receiving a lot of sightings around not only our country, Britain has, you know, England has been having so many sightings you know, now much more than before, and it seemed to be of greater, not only a number, but of verifiable statements by people, as well as some pictures and movies. And these things are one example of what is happening in, you might say, how do people of other worlds worship Christ, Michael, Jesus Christ, the Savior of this world, but the Creator, Son, and the Savior of, and Maker of the universe, and especially the Savior of the world's fallen under the rebellion of Lucifer. And this calling right now is this exposure of these ships themselves coming here, some seen and most not seen, are an example of this worship. Because of the importance of what is about to happen here on Earth, in this solar system, there are many, 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 many vessels. I mean, I'm saying thousands and perhaps even millions of them that will be showing up. The largest ships are many, many times larger than the very largest that we've seen so far, which have been about a mile in size. I did mention seeing this winged craft about that I said, you know, way back when in the beginning of these podcasts, that was about a mile in size, and now we are seeing them. there's even larger ones that are coming in. Interestingly enough, I've mentioned to Curtis that the Cassini photos, the Cassini pictures that show the New Jerusalem, especially the picture that shows it in close-up as a light bulb-shaped object, or flipped upside down like a, and then it looks like an alien head.
It does look like an alien head with those eyes.
I just flip it upside down. Well, actually, it was interesting when I called it the light bulb. They looked at me and they kind of said something like, "Doesn't it look like me too?" Yeah, kind of, but it still looks like a light bulb to me, and I still insist. Yeah, but they're making a statement.
That's funny.
Yeah, they're. I guess they kind of are funny if you're not afraid of them.
Mm-hmm.
If you're afraid of them, I don't think you could feel they're funny.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
it sounded like he was disappointed that you didn't think it looked like him.
Oh, it was. I was far too in awe about it, especially as we approached it. You know, and at first I didn't think it was very large, because I'm looking at the backdrop of Saturn itself. Saturn itself is, you know, it's a huge planet. It's gigantic.
It's almost 10 times larger than Earth.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's diameter-wise, but in volume, it's much, much larger.
Right.
You know, so it just, especially with the ring around it, it gives it a much bigger, and I was at awe just looking at the rings of Saturn and the Saturn itself. I just was just so amazed that I had that view of Saturn, and you know, and there was no motion felt in that trip, so I really didn't feel like I, you know, took off on a jet plane and, you know, was coming in for a landing. There was no feeling like that. It's more like just watching a view screen, you know, and of views. But as we approached it, it did get a lot larger. And this is the point that I wanted to make. Because it was so large, one of the largest ships is in the background of, we got, I think, three shots of that area that verify the stars or everything was in the correct position, right, Curtis?
And then, yes.
And then one shows it zoomed up, and one shows a donut of light, right?
Yes.
And there's one more that is before that, where in the upper left-hand corner, there is a cylindrical tubular ship. This ship is not just a few miles long. This ship is extremely large, you know. It is tubular, and it shows it moving toward the lower right-hand corner, but disappearing in that donut of light. It tracks it in that direction. So this is one of the aspects that's happening around the New Jerusalem. And what is my understanding, and I believe it's about as correct as they want me to understand it, that their religion really is their life and their service. And they are gathering in this, the New Jerusalem, as one of the outposts for this, for our Earth, our solar system. It's an outpost, a spaceport, and there are many, many of these larger ships coming in, bringing in just a grand amount of people from various parts of our solar, our Milky Way galaxy, and even some beings from much further away. And one of these that I did meet was the Veranda Deck light, being of light, as well as Adeno himself, who was also able to transform into light from very much like a very human, I mean, person, you know, a clean-cut human guy that said he was a teacher. And so there are some of them that are have traveled from even further distances than our own Milky Way galaxy in worship, you might say, or in service to our Creator Son, our Jesus Christ, who our confused people, ourselves, which is no more different than who we are, killed, you know. So it's not, you know, the Jews who killed him. It's not, it's human beings who he came to actually become, or to fit within, or to put on the clothing of a human mortal, with the limitations of the mortal being. And because of the fit, you might say, because of the fit, how he fit within us, or how we fit around him, is one of the reasons that we have become special, and that how much his love for us is now calling many of these that are coming in from all around the galaxy, from various parts of the universe in the farthest parts, for a very special event, and we're getting very close to it. I wondered about, you know, how close are we, and why I received certain understandings recently. I mentioned one about this cylinder carving, looking at a very grand sculpture, and it was like a big fuel oil tank, and looking at the inside of it, which was basically a sandstone, a carving of all of our basic industry that runs off of our energy needs, whatever it was sourced by, and yet it being keyed around our financial institutions, I believe, and they're wound up in a very tight way, I guess you might say, convoluted, very hidden many times, unknown, but much of it is being brought out. So how the rulership of the running of this planet has been keyed around there. but how things are going to come to not a total destruction of it, but about a third of it was kind of wiped off the vision. And the financial structure was stopped, not destroyed, but stopped somewhat. And I wondered about it. I wondered why would they send me this vision? Wonder why. Is it because, and they knew in such detail that they could paint a picture in one basic, easy sweep of their imaginings and send me this image representing so much of what is true that has been hidden. I didn't know about a lot of how things like the oil, the petrodollar, all oil purchases throughout the world being made in American dollars, and how, you know, we have some problems now because of that factor, and it seems to be causing some problems. But one of the things that I did see was how my most recent dream, which was very recent, was I noticed one of the elders standing in a crowd, let's say in Times Square in New York would be an example of the setting. It wasn't exactly that, but it was a setting like that. And he was standing in the middle of this crowd of people, and I said, why would the elder be dressed in his purple robes right in the middle of all these people, and what is he saying? And then I realized now that I did ask the question, how come they know about this? And this, they're apparently very involved in knowing what's going on the planet and our planet, and especially making a point that they're very integrated into our society in ways that we don't know, but they understand what's going on. And they are watching for the proper timing, and the timing is getting close, and we should be aware that there are certain factors, celestial as well as social, right here on Earth, that are setting the stage for the arrival of their worship, their Creator Son, to this part of the universe, which is right around where we are at on planet Earth. And there, again, is a very great amount of busyness going on. I definitely remembered how Dorians just marched down the hallway with on single file with strong intent on where they were going, and they were going somewhere, and they were going to dilly-dally around. And I say this all in respect to Nicola's question, because many times we create worship and we have a picture of worship as going to a church and watching ceremonies or participating in some kind of ceremony. There may be some ceremony involved in this that is coming up, but there will most likely be not ceremony, but an actual recreation, an ascension, a level of bringing up us from where we were actually intended to be, but somehow didn't quite make the trip in a smooth order. Curtis, I remember last week I told you something about power grids, right?
Yes.
And how we always want, you know, zero-point energy. We'll find something to plug into our power grid, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I wanted to just send us some super, you know, if they're so highly advanced, wanted to send us a Frondelink and plug him into our power grid. But, of course, you know, as I described, such a power regulator is not going to be able to be plugged into our power grid.
Right, just not
Right.
adaptable, you mean?
Yeah. Actually, all this intent, all the things that are happening now are an accumulation of the opposite. We are being transitioned to plug into the grid of God, of heaven, of the universe that is made up of many worlds, many beings, many times called the angelic realm, you know. And this is what's happening. This is what's happening right now. And I'm watching, and I'm very excited about seeing a lot of these happenings, and especially happy about seeing our awareness of these celestial beings, not just being, you know, coming in the order of the, like a holy, you might say, holy vision, some kind of supernal vision, but actually, you know, people can actually say, oh, I've seen their cars, you know. We've got some archaic pictures of art on your site, yeah, Curtis, where you have UFOs painted in old paintings, right?
Right, on the Urantia Connections page.
Yeah.
There's some old art that survived floods and fires and whatever.
And what's this UFO doing in the background?
But before we start recording, we were talking about how there's more sightings, and you said in Great Britain. But if we go back like 5 years, it was absolutely taboo for any American media to talk about UFOs.
Yes.
Now, wow, big difference between 5 years ago and now.
Right. This is all an essential ingredient in bringing about their arrival here for our adoption, our ascension process.
Well, so many people are seeing them, they have to. They just can't. They've been ignoring all these reports, and they never reported it ever on the news. In Mexico City, they did, but not in America. Well, now other countries are opening up their UFO files to the public, and France, Japan, Brazil. You can probably name some other ones, Italy, and America's about to do that. But the news media is starting to talk about it.
Right. And it's gone on, you know, like Larry King and so much more. It's becoming somewhat old stuff on some of the talk shows. But it is, in fact, becoming much, much more evident on areas where you want to go look at and wonder if they're there. Yes, there are an increasing amounts being seen in areas like in the Far East, China, Japan, in fact, I think there was some pretty neat ones seen a photograph down in India. So it's going to step up even more, but they are coming in from all parts of our galaxy and our universe. And those that are seen are much closer to us in their level of their being. Many of them that are photographed in ships and stuff like that are actually almost like tourists, you might say. They have a real curiosity because they haven't been here before. Really, I mean, that is true. But they have a purpose. They have a purpose because they're being called here and invited here for this important occasion. An event is a very important event because Since we are a very specially chosen generation with a chosen appointment, this appointment time for us is coming due.
Mm-hmm.
And
so they have posters on their planet to go visit Earth.
It's more than that, but you might say it's a call.
Like
it's
a,
made
like,
up, and what? It's calling as many as would want to.
Around here, we have posters that say, "Oh, go to Hawaii, visit Maui, and visit Hawaii."
Yeah.
And when I was in Hawaii, it said, "Oh, go to Philadelphia, visit Philadelphia," and that
right.
always cracked me up.
Yeah. Yeah, but this is happening right now, on a galactic and universal scale, and
go visit Earth.
Yeah, not just as play tourists, but to actually have there is a event that is very special in their, you might say, religion. Yeah. To answer Nicola's question, as it is, the religion is much more related to the way they live, not so much as something we sometimes have done in our lives in terms of what religion is. It's like one day a week sometimes, But their true teachings of Christ was to have it 24 hours a day, 24/7, and basically to have communion or to speak or to pray, using those terms, without ever stopping, without ceasing. And as a result, that's the way they function. And we are seeing some of that right now, and you might say that is their expression of religion, because it's beyond our understanding of what religion is. Religion for us is somehow related to a supernal experience toward God, but yet this is the opposite. What's happening right now is that when Christ came, he was God on earth in mortal mortal being, human type. And essentially suffered a whole lot more than necessary. But because of that, it makes it even more important to see how he, as ruler of the universe, comes back to the very poor people, lowest of all, and plugs them into the power grid of God, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
Plugs us into that. The first move was a Marantia move, or a spiritual move, when the Holy Spirit came. It's been operating here for 2,000 years or so. But that is even going to be surpassed by the next level of revelation, not only revelation, but actually induction into the rest of the universe, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
so Michael, when these beings come here to Earth to act like a tourist, what do they want to see first, and what do they want to see for sure when they come here?
They have several interests. It is variable. I'm going to go back to my experience with Tan and Nella, because this I can relate on and just report on a personal level. Tan effectively is more of a scientist. He really is interested in life here as a scientist, as understanding how we think and operate, and making comparisons of us to himself, and understanding, and trying to draw understanding from it. So his interest was somewhat more intellectual. Whereas Onisea, was more in terms of, for me anyway, in terms of relational, in expressing how we could be affected by their love projected from them. And I tell you right now, they have something that is we don't have yet. But it's so wonderful, it's so pure, it's so highly refined, you might say. And she wasn't as scientific, as she was more full of a type of, I want to just go and hug all these earth people, but for now, maybe not. You know, that's how I would say it. But she did it more in a telepathic sense, and, which was much better than a hug. So, yeah, it's to relate. I think there were others that I did meet who were very just observed from afar off. They do not come to make actual contact with us right now ahead of time. Later they may, in fact they will, but for now they're just, you might say, limited. So they will, you'll just probably see them, and they're allowed right now to make themselves visible. Tell the earth that they're not alone. Mm-hmm. I did one of the things that when I went to the New Jerusalem was I saw no sculpture of any being, no sculpture of, you know, like we go to Washington, D.C., go to Lincoln Memorial, there he is sitting in the chair, big, gigantic sculpture. If you go to
Honolulu.
Yeah, you got King Kamehameha. Statue, you know. Very large. He was 7 feet, you know. He was a big man. Not lanky. He was heavy built. Mm-hmm. And the Neptunians, or those that were like 8 feet tall, walking with the Dano, have this look like the Polynesian look to their faces and their size. But the size of the race that has, the Hawaiians that have died, were seven and some 8 feet tall. And these have all died out because of childhood diseases that were brought here by missionaries. Didn't realize they had diseases. But anyway, I noticed how many sculptures throughout the world went to, you know, the museums, you know, and looked at the marvels of great sculptures, Greek sculptures, and looked around Rome and sees different areas of sculptures of people, always people, sculptures of people, sort of like putting man on a pedestal all over the place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we've done to ourselves, as we've made tribute to great men, great conquerors, great leaders, all around, for some reason. But this mindset, or conscious mindset, enough to create these sculptures is part of the change that will be coming about when we suddenly realize we can no longer make these sculptures of great men when we understand our position of where we are. Truly, no longer we'll look at that as our past great accomplishments. We'll be looking forward, continuously looking forward to even greater revelation, greater things that will happen. And many times we won't anthropomorphize, you know, put the angels and stuff into human form, but actually know and say, like I did to the elders, I said, I can see you as you are. I just stay as you are. And they let me see them as they are. And it'd be very acceptable. And it also put us into a position where we might feel, which would have been would be incorrect, as inferior to them. And this I was corrected several times, not to feel that way. This is where Nela or Onise Juan corrected me to let me know that they do not look at us as an inferior race. So neither should I feel that way. We are a race that is very special. So anyway, all of this surrounds that one question. How do the other celestials, other beings from other worlds, worship Christ Michael, the Creator Son, or the Creator, or God? And that's my answer.
Well, that's wonderful. You know, getting back to the UFOs on the news media, that, you know, oh, do you see aliens, photographs of ships? But with big telescopes, with a big telescope in a dark area, you can see that architectural world out near Saturn. And a lot of people that come into the website, into HelloEarth.info, they mostly look at that, the NASA connection. I think that's what brings them there first, from the Philippines or from Iceland. That they look at this. There's something out there near Saturn that's all lit up. And you can see it with a telescope, and Cassini sent back many pictures, and there's probably a lot of pictures on there that are not the sphere around Saturn, but it's something else. And like at the top of the at the top of the page, there's new pictures, or the newest ones that I had on there. And it's a sphere, and then it's a diamond shape, and then it goes back to a sphere. What do you think that is, Michael?
Well, I'm not sure, but I understand that there are just so many more major ships that are coming in. These are not ships of small scout size, that which, you know, is like 20 feet in diameter, 40 feet, 50 feet, even up to a mile. These ships that are coming in now are, you might say starship, yeah, it's a term, starship, but they more or less could be shaped as a very long tube, or like a great egg, very similar to the New Jerusalem in its shape, its size. So they would have these abilities that would be able to give them a distinctive appearance. And changing from one form to another form and back again is part of their ability, I guess, to radiate whatever they want to appear like. So I would say these are much larger ships coming in. And they will come in at speeds that I know exceed the speed of light. From that one donut of light, I know that right there is an impression that I get, is that could be a result of breaking through the speed of light, or just that motion into moving faster than light.
On the Michael Connection page, below all of Michael's hours, there's a little section I have called UFO News. And the one at the top, it says, undeniable proof of real aliens. Did you get a chance to see that, Michael, with the 12-mile-long tether?
Oh, yeah, I did.
And I like the comment he made because the craft that was 12 miles long, it was like a ruler. So for every mile, it was like an inch of a ruler. So when you
right.
saw that object float by that was about 2 inches in diameter, that means that thing's 2 miles in diameter.
Yeah, yeah.
So our news media is starting to report this, which is terrific.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I know is they will not force themselves on us. They will not force the news media to cover us. They have been receiving the signs that it's becoming okay. And that is necessary. When Larry King puts out these shows, they're on truly mainstream media and are covered. And the internet is partially responsible for this. But the timing of our consciousness through the creative mind is very, very open to the impressions of our celestial guardians, our guardians of our destiny over here on Yantra. They show me times in which they looked like they were praying, but they were telepathically impressing upon whoever would receive ideas. Some of these ideas that were received are been received by our greatest filmmakers to give our planet a consciousness ready to accept the fact that we are not alone. But they won't come in to seem like we're being invaded. It almost like, finally, here they are.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah, and it's almost becoming that way.
Well, going back to Washington, D.C. in 1952, there were all those craft, and there was newspaper articles, but everything just, they move on and talk about something else. Well, when there's something that is unexplained, you need to figure it out before you can move on.
Right, right.
But there's so much to talk about, and but really, who we are and where we came from, that's a big subject.
Yeah, and the answers that I received were to me, in my opinion, the right ones. They fit into a category of being able to fit within many of the religions of the world, many of the science, much of the science that we have had presently at the time, and much, much more of the science that we have right now. And I just wanted to make a comment about another reason that they come to visit Earth is for our planet's beauty. Our planet has life forms, plant life, and various life forms that far exceed, I would say, most of the planets that these others have come from. These others have come from planets with a guided destiny, a destiny fixed on its course. In other words, almost a automated guidance system that guides their development. But Earth has gone on with, you might say, without leadership, and has formed more variations of things that they have seen. But when it comes down to the fundamentals of it, of course, the fundamentals of much of what we do are just something old hat to them, or historic or ancient, but yet the life here, not our technology, but the life here, life forms here, are very beautiful to them too.
Mm.
But I did see that one plant, about 2 feet in height, a bush, that was made up of Marantia material, more beautiful than I have seen anything before. I mean, it gathered up all the most beautiful gems. I've been to the gem museums, I guess, in the Smithsonian area. Of this collection of greatest gems around the world, they just do not have the life of light and energy and movement that this little plant had. At first impression, it looked like a plant with leaves, but then it expressed itself as life, but not as life as with flesh and blood, but life as with light and crystalline structure, but movement that was graceful, and an emotional response I would receive was that it reacted to me in such a nice way. And this is something that I was told right there. It is the material, this what you call a plant, is not found on Earth. It is here, only here, that we have that. And we walked down the hallway more and more toward what they were going to expose me to. And along one of the rooms that were along the way, there were lined up, you know, dozens of these very same plants, like a hedgerow. You know, I had already taken my time for examine just that one lone plant, and from there we just moved into the next point of my education, which was looking at the construction of Marantia material, essentially growing what they're saying is growing, in a sense, what they were making. Which they told me was a space that I would have one like it, would be given a space like that within that area. Anyway, it was pretty plain, empty, you might say. It wasn't finished, of course. Anyway, that's a little bit of what they're interested in, and a lot of what I was interested in.
Well, it's very interesting that you said that Earth has more variations of life than aliens have seen in other worlds.
Yeah, many of them have experienced, yes.
Well, this is a beautiful planet, even if you land on the polar caps. The ice is beautiful.
Yeah. I being in Hawaii, you think that we wouldn't be able to experience that, but we would always go visit the snow on Haleakala when it happened, and it was always a different experience up there. Of course, it's very high, about 2 miles up in the air, but quite beautiful, very different scenery than looking at it from a point where it's just lava rock.
Yes,
now it puts on this nice white cloak.
Oh, yes. I was there once when there was snow on Haleakala, and went up there, and people laughed when people slipped on the ice or the snow.
Yeah, we didn't know how to behave on it.
Well, we're down to less than a minute, and I just wanted to say about our swan, Grace Boy. He's getting talked about quite a bit in the community. Why was the biggest question, and it came out in a couple other newspapers today, and I really miss him. But Michael, it was nice having you back again, and we'll do this next week, and it's once again time to say aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha, Michael.
Bye-bye.
Bye.